More and more people have lost sight of religiosity, and so here's a little joke for this. An elderly nun who is living in a convent next to a Brooklyn construction site overheard some of the coarse language of the workers, and so she decided to spend some time with them to correct their ways. She decided she would take her lunch, sit with the workers, and talk with them. She put her sandwich in a brown bag and walked over to the spot where the men were eating. She walked up to the group and with a big smile said, "Do you men know Jesus Christ?" They shook their heads and looked at each other. One of the workers looked up into the still work and yelled, "Anybody up there know Jesus Christ?" One of the still workers yelled down, "Why?" The worker yelled back, "His wife's here with his lunch." For the next few weeks, we are exploring the thoughts and books of contemporary theologians and writers. Last week, we reflected on Mark Nepo's book, More Together Than Alone, which highlighted the importance of creating community in our conflicted world. And some of us have embarked on a 6-week study of his book about being community on Thursday mornings. Today we're reflecting on Diana Butler Bass's book, Grounded, Finding God in the World, A Spiritual Revolution. Diana is an American historian of Christianity who earned a PhD at Duke University, has written religious columns for the New York Times, and is the author of 8 books on religion, including Christianity Beyond Religion. Her latest book, Grounded, points out that there is a new spiritual revolution afoot, in which people are finding the holy in the midst of their ordinary lives. She points out that God is intimately a part of our creation. No longer do we believe, as our ancestors did for centuries, that we live in a 3-tiered cosmology in which we live in the middle earth, God is up in the heavens looking down on us, and that below us is a frightening, fiery hell. Space travel and geological discoveries have challenged that ancient thinking forever. And so we're still struggling to live in a new cosmology, a new understanding of the cosmos, which focuses on the Earth as our planetary home, a home that needs to be honored as sacred and filled with the wonder and glory of God, a home that needs to be revered and protected if we are to survive as a species. So she reminds us that if we want to find the divine, we must look for God in the ordinary places and spaces to glimpse the extraordinary. She tells the story of a beautiful monastery that she used to go on silent retreats. And it was built high on some California bluffs, which overlooked spectacular vistas where people could go and get away from it all in silent retreat away from the world. She said, but then some terrible fires happened in California, as we all know, and the monastery was burnt to the ground. So the nuns, who had a convent in the nearby city below, invited the monks to come and make a home with them in the midst of the city. So she describes how now, instead of retreating from the world to find God, that she comes to the midst of the city in that convent, and now finds God amidst the busyness and noise and rush, and the sounds and scents and sights of the city. And it is alive with God. This understanding of God as just not transcendent in the heavens, but imminent in the earth, is understood through various world religions, including our own Judeo-Christian scriptures. In our scriptures this morning, in the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations reminds us that God has chosen to make God's home not in the heavens, in realms we cannot see, not just there, but has chosen to make a home among the people. That the God of the future envisioned by John is a God who is committed to the people like a bride to her partner on her wedding day, full of enthusiasm and excitement and hope. And this God resides surprisingly in the midst of the city of God, making it holy. God is found even in the city. When Thomas Merton, a Roman Catholic theologian and mystic, was visiting Bangkok, one of the busiest and, I understand, dirtiest cities in the world, it was there while he was standing on a bustling street corner in Thailand that he glimpsed the holy. And he said the entire street corner and all the people crossing on it began to shimmer and radiate with the golden light of God. And he wondered why everyone didn't see what he was glimpsing. That, like the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins said, the earth is charged with the grandeur of God. It shakes like shook foil. We are invited to have the eyes of the mystics, to see the wonder and awe of God in all things. Similarly, in Luke, when Jesus' students ask him, "Where can we find God?" Jesus tells them the kingdom of God does not come over there or on this particular day in some distant future, but the presence of God is within them now. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you, says Jesus. Jesus was reminding us that the Spirit is present in the human, in the ordinary things. We are intimately connected to the Creator and life giver of all that is. Diana Butler Bass spends 282 wonderful pages reminding us, chapter by chapter, to see and revere the sacred in everything. She has a chapter called Dirt. In the dirt from which we are made and depend on food, God is found. To see God in the water from which we are born and cleansed and our thirst quenched and depend on for life. To see God in the sky, in the air we breathe. To glimpse God in our roots, in the generations past, generations to come. In our homes, in the hospitality of opening our homes to strangers, as well as to family and intimate connections. To see God in our neighbors and in our neighborhoods. And to see God in the global commons, in the green spaces we all share, and even in the voices on the internet. To find holiness in all these things, to recognize that there really is no separation between the sacred and the profane, that the profane is filled with the sacred. She writes, "Spirituality is about personal experience, the deep realization that dirt is good, not dirty. Water is holy. The sky holds wonder. That we are part of a great web of life. Our home is in God and our moral life is entwined with that of our neighbor. It is about tracing the threads of the interconnected universe, about finding God in nature and in community, and in finding God, discovering that we really are one." She reminds us that our understanding of the nature of God is shifting, and it needs to be shifting. And the church we need to keep up. It is shifting from the idea of God as transcendent and beyond us, a supreme being sitting like a judge with long robes on a throne, meting out reward for the deserving and punishment for the undeserving, a God to be feared, and shifting and moving to an understanding of God as a spirit of life that moved from the beginning of time on the face of the waters and infuses all life with goodness, a spirit that is intimately connected and makes a home within creation, not only in the beautiful Garden of Eden, or not just in the temple or church, but in the city, and in every human, God dwells and makes a home in us, whether we are aware of it or not. This is a deeply incarnational theology, a God that dwells in the flesh, not just in the person of Jesus, but in every person. This was the message of Jesus. I will pray to God and ask that God will send the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and make a home in you, the Spirit of truth that will guide you. Theologians call it pan-entheism. God in everything. How would this understanding of the divine in the world, if it was fully understood and lived out, transform the world? If we saw every living thing as holy, every life from microorganisms in the dirt to worms, to bees, trees, to whales, to child, to aging human, as holy and worthy of dignity and respect. To be grounded in this understanding is to move from human to divine compassion, to be contemplative, to see the world with the eyes of God, to see God in the sick, to see God in the addicted, to see God in the insane, as much as in the saint. Jesus understood the nature of God this way. The mystics of all world religions have understood God this way. The indigenous peoples around the world have comprehended the Creator and the creation in this way. We are just catching up. Sally McFaig is a theologian from British Columbia. And she puts it this way: the world, the universe, is the body of God. All matter, all flesh, all myriad beings, things and processes that constitute physical reality are in and of God. God is not just spirit, but also body. Hence, God can be thought of in organic terms as the vast, interrelated network of beings that compose our universe. The glory of God, then, is not just heavenly, but earthly. May we take a moment now to celebrate and honor this understanding of God and find God in all things.
Lightning reflected off the sky, and I know I'll never be the same.